Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
There was two men standing on top of a ridge. And the two men standing on top of the ridge are looking down. And they see a whole bunch of sheep. About how many people are in here? Like maybe 200? I don't know. 165. He said 165. Y'all being counted. And the two men look down and they see 165 sheep. And then they see this man come in with a whip. And the man begins to wapya, wapya, wapya. Just starts whipping all of them. One man looks at the other man and he says, "My, that is so terrible, the way that shepherd is treating the sheep." The other man looks at the other man and says, "That's no shepherd, that's a butcher. That's a butcher." And then he says, "There's a very big difference between shepherds and butchers. Butchers don't necessarily have to care how they treat sheep. They only want one thing. Whatever it is that they're butchering. But shepherds treat their sheep like family. Shepherds protect their sheep. Shepherds cover their sheep. Shepherds are there for their sheep. So I can always tell the difference between a butcher and a shepherd by the way they treat people. See, a butcher will only treat you well when you're doing something. A butcher, he said, someone said, "That's for you, Eric." I'm trying to preach. See, a shepherd will care for you even when you're sick, even when you're hurting, because the shepherd knows that you're important. A shepherd will care for you even when you mess up, even when you fall. They will help you be restored. Why do I say that? That's not in my notes. Why do I say that? Because I thought about Pastor Mindy and Pastor Rich, and they're good shepherds, under shepherds. We're all under shepherds, under the shepherd. The Bible says there's only one good shepherd. So as we go into pastor appreciation, as we go into this next month, I want to make this month kind of like the start of something new that we do every month. I've never understood Black History Month. I probably shouldn't talk about that too much. I should get to my notes. Because why do anything for a month? Come on. I don't love my wife for 1 month. I don't love my children for 1 month. Oh, it's Father Month. I guess I'm going to be a dad this month. No, I make my choices. I set my priorities. And then I do it every month. Come on. So when we look at our pastors, when we look at leaders, just understand that they are just humans. They are just people. The Bible says, "Work out your salvation in spirit and truth," and they're trying to do that too. But they're also shepherds, and they're also leaders, and they also have a lot to be accountable for that we don't see, I don't see. So let's honor that in Jesus' name. I'm gonna hop into my message. The message, positioned for greatness. I'm calling this message positioned for greatness. Look, it's on the screen and everything. And the first point of this is find focus. Everybody say, find focus. Find focus. Say it louder like you mean it. Find focus. Yes, yes, yes. The enemy is not concerned with us meeting on Sunday. The devil is not afraid of us staying, the devil is afraid of us staying focused and applying what we hear today on Monday.
That's what the devil is really, really afraid of. He's not scared of you sitting in this room. He really is not. And to be honest, if you don't apply what you learn in this room, oh my gosh, I don't want to get in trouble, but it's a waste of time. I really feel like it's a waste of time. Because we come here to get fed. We come here to grow. We come here to analyze ourselves. Whenever I walk into our city church, I'm walking into a house of mirrors. I begin to look at myself and say, what can be better? I begin to prune. The Bible says in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is exactly why we have to be focused. Leave that up there. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill. I have a confidence monitor. I shouldn't put my back to you. And destroy. I have came that you may have life and life more abundantly. So right there, we know the enemy's tactics. We know exactly what he wants to do. Did you know football teams and people who are in wars, all types, you know they analyze the enemy a lot of times more than they analyze themselves? I think some of us are losing the war because we're looking at ourselves too much. We got to start looking at the enemy and saying, hey, what is the enemy doing? Pull up that picture of my family. So this is my family. Judah is 3. Let me tell you right now, the devil is not waiting till he gets older to steal his identity. The world is trying to turn my son into my daughter into my son. They're trying to steal the worship. They're trying to steal the identity that is inside of them from birth. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything. The enemy wants me to look at other women. The enemy wants me to disrespect my wife. The enemy wants me to be at home, but not be at home. The enemy is not waiting. He's not playing fair. He doesn't wait until you put your gloves on. He's not waiting. Paul said, fight the good fight. Do you know what that means? You're gonna get hit, and you better get ready. You better be ready to get hit. My wife gets spiritually attacked sometimes. And I have to be ready. I have to cover her. Our weapons are not carnal. The Bible says the kingdom suffers violence. In Matthew, it says that. The violent taketh by force. I believe we have to be a little bit more violent in the spirit. I believe we're not violent enough. And I believe that's the reason why the devil runs amok in people's households, in people's families. Kids are doing whatever they want. Everyone's doing whatever they want. It said that a crazy percentage, like in the 80% of men who come to church, including pastors, are addicted to pornography. The devil's not taking breaks. But he wants me to take a break. He doesn't like it when I speak like this. It freaks him out. And it freaks people in his camp out too. When people speak like this, everybody's like, they get squeamish. I watch some of you. Some of you are out there. I see all of you. Some of you out there, you're like, yeah. Some of you out there are like. We have to protect our family now. Our weapons are not carnal. We must stay focused. As soon as we lose focus, we can get taken out. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 3 seconds, 3 minutes, or 30 years. You can get taken out. We have to stay focused. Joseph, in the Bible, he had the opportunity to sleep with a beautiful woman. And you know what he said? He said, no, I will not do that. I will not dishonor my God, and I will not dishonor your husband. And he ran away. The woman grabbed his cloak, and what happened to him? Let me tell you what happened to him. She lied and said that he assaulted her, and he was thrown in jail. Sometimes this is what happens to men of God. Not everybody's going to understand you. If everyone understands you and everybody likes you, you're probably not doing it right. If everybody understands you, if you can go and you can just fit in anywhere, let me tell you right now, you ain't set apart. Daniel, there was a decree that said, you cannot pray. You know what Daniel said? Open the window. I'm gonna pray where everybody could see me. And he prayed. Come on, we have anybody bold like that in here? That if they say we can't pray, we pray anyway? That if they say we can't pray, we open the window and we pray where they can see us? We need to be more bold. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell, boldness came over people. I feel like sometimes we don't question ourselves enough. I do nothing but question myself. Lord, am I actually serving where you want me to serve? Lord, am I actually moving the way you want me to move? Lord, am I actually saying the things you want me to say? And guess what? It works. He says, Sam, no, you're tripping. That's what he says most of the time. Don't do that again. Sam, you can do this better. Sam, you could do this better. Do you know the mark of a son? Discipline. Discipline. If you're being disciplined, you know you're a son. David brought the Ark of the Covenant back in to the Holy Land. And he began to dance like a fool. Not like a nice, I don't know if that's nice. Is that nice? but like just crazy, undignified. And then he said, I will become more undignified than this. He didn't care what people thought of him. And there was a woman that was judging him from a window. And you know what the Bible said about that woman? Let me tell you something. The Bible said she would never produce again because she judged the worship of a holy man. That is how powerful we are when we worship in spirit and truth. When we say, you know what? I don't care what people think. All I care about is what you think. All I care about is what you want for my marriage. All I care about is what you want for my home. All I care about is what you want for my work life. All I care about is what you want for our church. And that's focus. You see, Daniel was focused. David was focused. Joseph was focused. As soon as we lose focus, it can cost us everything. I bet you if Daniel, David, and Joseph were here, they wouldn't be impressed with Instagram followings. They wouldn't be impressed with big churches. They wouldn't be impressed with nice worship services. They wouldn't be impressed with the high attendance. I'll go a step further. Jesus is here. And I know he's not impressed with Instagram followings. I know he's not impressed with large services. I know he's not impressed. Do you know what impresses the Lord? A heart surrendered to him. A heart that says, Lord, whatever you have for me. And Jesus was more focused than everyone. He was beaten and bruised and battered. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. And you know what he was doing? He looked at the dude next to him. He could barely talk. He was like, today he will be with me in heaven. Till the last moment, he was winning souls. Jesus was evangelizing when he was at his most excruciating time in his life. It shows me the sheer focus he had.
as soon as any little things happens to us, we're like, oh. Yep. Come on, be real with yourself. Yep. I have nothing to lose. I have everything to gain. If you guys, if anyone in here, I know you guys are all good. You got y'all all are on the narrow path. Take it to somebody else. But if just one person in here, one person wakes up today, they might be the next Billy Graham. I don't know. There might be single mothers in here with a suicide note in their back pocket saying, I'm gonna try it one more time. I'm just gonna go to church one more time. There's fathers who don't know how they're gonna provide. There's people drowning in debt. You guys don't need another feel-good message. You need the messenger. We need the word of God. The second thing these men had is humility, beautiful humility. I personally noticed in my life that when things fall apart, when my home falls apart, when I'm having trouble with the worship team, when I'm having trouble anywhere, it's because a lack of humility. If I would just be humble and say and tell my wife, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, even if what I said was right, I probably said it the wrong way. I have to do this all the time. It's my whole life. You know what, I'm sorry. And I don't just say sorry to get past it. I say sorry and go to the Lord and say, how can you make me better today? You guys don't even have to believe me. Just apply these principles. I need humility to be a father. I need humility to be a business owner. I need humility to be a pastor. I need humility to come and sit in a chair right there and watch some brown dude scream at me. You need humility for anything you do. Because if you don't have humility, it won't work. If there's no humility, you won't be able to listen. You won't be able to receive. I've noticed in my life that the way I gauge this is controlling the level and the size of God in my life. And some people might think that's weird. You can't control the size of God. You're right. God is one size. He's good. No worries. Be humble. Some people might say, how can I control the size of God? I'll tell you right now. God is everywhere. He's not in a box, and there's no size to him. But in your life, there is a size. I studied electron microscopy in college, and I would work with these microscopes. They were called scanning electron microscopes and transmission microscopes. They were the size of an entire room. And what we would do is we would prepare a sample and cut a sample, and the sample was so microscopic and so tiny that we had to cut it with blades made of diamonds. And we had to pick it up with special forceps that had diamond tips. And we would put the sample in, and the most amazing thing happened. I can control how much I can see of that sample to the molecular level with just a knob. So I would turn the knob, and it would look like I was going inside of the sample. I would go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it would scan, and the screen would like, and then I could take pictures of it. It was beautiful, and it showed me that God is real. This is why scientists are getting saved all over America. You can't do this and say there's no God. And I would turn it up, and I would make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And every time I turned the knob, I saw more and more detail. Minute details that told me so much about my sample. But it took an instrument. The instrument was the microscope. I had the revelation that I am that instrument. To the Lord, I am that instrument. I am the one that magnifies him. I am the one that looks deeper. I am the one that wants to not stay on the surface. No
Pastor, I'm so sorry. No one that you follow, no podcast that you listen to is going to take you deeper. Only you. You can listen to something and then say, I want to go deeper in prayer. But then you have to be the instrument that turns it up in your life. So yes, you can get information. We're in a time, we're in the information age. Everyone has so much information. But what are we doing with it? Hallelujah. I said all that to get to this point. See, and I did that order on purpose. You have to be focused and you have to be humble. If you're not focused and you're not humble, you can't have the most important part of all, and that is fear of the Lord. You have to know how to fear the Lord. A lot of people think we have a sin problem. A lot of people think we have a moral problem. I think people don't fear the Lord. Because when you fear the Lord and you have reverence for the Lord, you clean up. Because you understand who He is and you understand who you are and you understand that you're dust and He's not. That He formed you out of dust and He breathed into your nostrils and made you you. You understand that your next breath depends on if He wants you to take it. And you begin to be reverent. You hear it all the time. Believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. If we go by that, demons are saved. Read the whole chapter. Believing is attached to action. If you just believe, it's not enough. And I know that is so hard to hear. There's action. I'm not saying there's a bunch of hoops. I'm not saying you got to get baptized. You got to do this. Let's go back to the man on the cross. He didn't do anything. He did nothing. Zero. He just met Jesus that day, hanging on that cross. He believed, but then he had action. He looked at Jesus and he said, I believe who you are. And yes, I want to be with you. His whole entire being shifted. That's fear of the Lord. I think there are practices to meet the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Oh, it's so good. It's reverence, it's beholding, it's lingering, it's contemplating. This is going to be the best part of my message because Pastor Jade wrote it. We don't have remembrance for much of anything, reverence for much of anything, and are so desensitized. We can read that God spoke and created everything and then move on to the next sentence without a thought. We can scroll and read that a family of Christians was killed in an African village without even finishing the story and just keep scrolling. This is the end of her excerpt. I'm going to add something. The position we are in America right now is this. When I read it, I wept. Where people, there was a man shot in the neck in front of a crowd of people. There's a wife who doesn't have a husband anymore. Kids who don't have a father. And there's people celebrating. Pastor Mindy said it so well when she said it last week. This is not a political issue. This is not a sin issue.
We need Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that will give us unity. Jesus is the only thing that will stop us from just scrolling, that will stop us from just going to the next thing. We need Jesus. We don't need crowds to cheer. To be honest, we don't even need to be so loud sometimes. Sometimes our silence says way more than saying anything. Our silence in the wrong place says everything about us. And our silence in the right place says everything about us. Jesus was very vocal on a lot of matters, and there's other matters where he said nothing. We serve a God that parted the sea. He hung the stars on nothing. He told the waves where to stop. He made the sun stand still. For a war to be won, might I add. When we sit and acknowledge the real weight and darkness of sin and the real value of life, come on, pausing and beholding, these things move you. Everything you see moves you. The Bible says that Jesus looked out at the crowd and he wept. The Bible says that Jesus looked out at the condition of the people and he wept. He didn't just keep going. The religious leaders wouldn't stop for the Good Samaritan that was beaten and left by the road. But there was a man, for the man who was beaten and left by the road, but the Good Samaritan stopped and helped him. That is what we need. We need to be a people of action. Amens and attendance don't get you into heaven. Action does. It feels good. I've been in rooms where the energy is electric. I mean, you feel it. You feel it in your bones, down to the molecular level. And I've been in rooms where nothing is happening. I don't think either one is more important than the other. As long as there's people in them. As long as there's people who want to serve the Lord. And why not you? You right there. You right behind you. You, raise your hand. You, behind you. Yeah, you guy, like this. Why not you? Yeah, you. Why not you? Why can't you be the best? Why can't you be the greatest preacher America has ever seen? Your Bible is as big as everybody else's Bible. I'm calling you, I'm sorry. Your God is as big as everybody else's God. Why not you? The only difference is your prayer life might not be as big as the guy with that Bible. But if you were to just go home tonight, and you don't have to say anything to me, but I see something in you, and say, Lord, if you want to use me, use me. Your whole entire life will change in an instant. You will be filled with power that is dunamis. And you can change a nation. You. When we pause and behold that a God so mighty and so powerful stopped and put on flesh and lived an unpolished life, a down in the dirt life for us. I love that. Took a brutal beating for us, was crucified. Then you'd understand how crazy the reality is of it and why it's called the good news. Why he's worthy of giving everything to. But we don't behold, we scroll. We don't behold, we scroll. We don't behold, we scroll. We've been trained to not behold anything. We've been trained to not stop at anything. I might even be preaching too slow for you right now. Maybe not. That's the other churches. You guys are great, right? Like, we're all.
when you just stop and you look at the Lord for who he is, what a mighty thing that can happen. The whole world has pitted the entertainment industry and everything against us so that we will be desensitized, but there is wisdom. Everybody say, but wisdom. But wisdom. That sounds weird. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'll mention that again in a second. I'll give you two examples, and I'm going to end with this. I'll give you two examples. In the story, the parable of the prodigal son, we all know it. If you don't know it, it's at Luke chapter 15. Go home and read it. It'll change your life. Read the whole chapter. There's a bunch of parables in it. There was a son who took his dad's inheritance and went and spent it all. But there was a moment where he came to himself and he said, I have nothing left. I'm sitting here in a pig pen. I could go home. That is fear of the Lord. I know a lot of people don't think that that is fear of the Lord, but that's how it works. A good fear of the Lord is saying, Lord, I've messed up. I've ruined everything. I've ruined relationships. I fell. But I need to come closer to you. I need you to know. I need you to know what I've done so that you can help me fix it. A terrible fear of the Lord is saying, I messed up. There's nothing I can do to fix it. And I don't want to go anywhere near the Lord because I'm not good enough. There's nothing I can do to get back in good standing with the Lord. And do you know what that is? You know what I just described? The second example, the prodigal son's brother. So he was out and he was standing there. The father goes and talks to him. And he's throwing a party for the prodigal son that came back. He's throwing a huge party. And the brother doesn't want to go in. And the father says, don't you know that everything I have is yours? Don't you know that everything has always been available to you? But this is what that spirit does to you. It's called an orphan spirit. I'm going to call it out. It's called an orphan spirit. This is what that spirit does to you. It tells you that you're not good enough, and it doesn't like when other people are celebrated. So everywhere I go, I'm a prodigal. I came back. Everywhere I go, there's always a brother that doesn't like me. They don't like that I preach. They don't like that I sing. They don't like they don't like me, and they try to pick me apart. And they always have this spirit. I'm just going to call it out. This spirit will make you feel like you can't be a part of anything. This spirit will alienate you, but this spirit will die today in you. This spirit is killing churches all over America. There are pastors who start churches out of this spirit. They get rejected by someone, usually because they were going to get corrected by someone. So they take correction as rejection. That's what this spirit does. And it moves away. And sometimes you got businessmen with this spirit. You got pastors with this spirit. You got geniuses with this spirit. So they start something new, and the foundation of it is this spirit. Let me tell you right now, I'm just going to speak it over I'm going to blanket it over you. You are not this spirit. If this spirit is trying to plague you, if this spirit is trying to penetrate your life, you can beat it today. You are not jealous. You are worthy because of his blood. Not because of anything you can do, but because of his blood. You are not a victim. This spirit always plays the victim. And it always wants to be heard as the victim. You are not a victim. You are victorious in Jesus Christ. I've been through hell in my life, and I don't feel like a victim. Why? Because he's victorious. Not because I haven't been through hell, but because he's victorious. This spirit loves competition. It's always trying to compete. It's always trying to compare. Well, I've been doing this for this long, and he's been doing this for this long. She's been doing this for this long, and she's there, and I'm here. There's something wrong with me. No, everyone's process is different. This spirit feels like it has to fight for attention. You don't have to fight for attention. I've been so spiritually attacked this week because the devil knew I was going to talk to you guys about this. This spirit always feels like it has to fight for acceptance. You don't have to fight for acceptance. This spirit always wants to fight for position, but you are positioned. You're already positioned. You might be in a process, but you're already positioned. David was anointed, and then he went through a process. God already knew what he was going to do with him. Joseph was anointed, then he went through a process. God already knows what he's going to do with you. I see tears in the room. Hallelujah. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can say. That's the Lord working on your heart. You are positioned, you are loved, and you are known. This is where you draw your fear from. You want to have the right fear from the part inside of you that knows that it knows that it knows that only God can satisfy you. This is why this fear brings wisdom. This fear will make you stop sinning. You're not going to want to do the things you did anymore. Not because someone told you. Not because you went to a Pentecostal church and they told you that you have to do this, 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 and this. Are we Pentecostal? We're not a Pentecostal church. Sometimes I got to remember where I'm preaching. This fear will make you stop saying the wrong thing. Or even better, when you do say the wrong thing, it'll make you apologize. This is not the fear that you felt when you were abused or mishandled. This is not that fear. This is the fear that says, I know I was abused. I know I was mishandled. But God, I trust you. And I know that if I continue to move and if I continue to be faithful, that you will handle anything. You will handle everything. You will handle everyone. This fear that casts out that spirit that I was just talking about will make you dangerous to the kingdom of God. You will be dangerous. Because instead of trying to gain acceptance from a man or an organization or a place, you go right above that to God. And do you know what happens? Inevitably, men and organizations see that on you and you get favor. You don't do it for favor, but then you operate from a place of favor because your mindset changes. I want to declare some things over you. Is that okay if I do that? Chuck, can you come up and play? The orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. I speak the spirit of adoption over you right now, love and acceptance. I see hands being raised. Hallelujah. We will celebrate when our brothers and sisters are promoted and blessed. We will not be jealous of them. The orphan spirit tries to medicate the deep internal alienation through physical stimulation. I speak the spirit of adoption over you right now. The joy and the presence of the Lord will be your only comfort. Let me say it again. The joy and the presence of the Lord will be your only comfort. Nothing else will satisfy you. Amen. The orphan spirit is driven by a need for success. I speak the spirit of adoption over you right now in Jesus' name. Success will no longer be your goal, but calling and mission will. Calling and mission. And it looks a lot different than success sometimes. You will not feel okay. After today, mark my words, you write the date down. You will not feel okay with success. Everything that you thought looked like success is gonna feel empty to you. Because all you're gonna care about is mission and your calling. Amen? The orphan spirit uses people as objects to fulfill their goals. I speak the spirit of adoption over you right now. You will serve people to bless the kingdom and the kingdom only. You will serve people not looking for what you can gain, but looking for what the kingdom can gain. Hallelujah. And let me tell you right now, sometimes that looks like raising your children. A lot of people think that's feeding the homeless or doing outreach ministry. No, no, no. A lot of times you are serving the kingdom if you are raising your children correctly. There is no better ministry you can have than raising your children. This one I'm gonna speak over you, and I really want you to receive it. The orphan spirit inevitably repels their children. The orphan spirit ruins the relationship between mother, daughter, and son, father, daughters, and sons. I speak the spirit of adoption over you right now. You will attract your children. They will come back to you. They will listen to you. And they will follow you, but only as you follow Christ. Yes, Lord. The orphan spirit has issues with anger and fits of rage. Uncontrollable anger and fits of rage. Right now, I speak the spirit of adoption over you. Rest in the Father's ability to control and guide your future and your emotions. Jesus. The orphan spirit is always in competition with others. I speak a spirit of adoption over you right now. How can you be in competition with somebody when you want to see them win? How can I be in competition with Paige if I want to see her win? How can I be in competition with Amy if I want to see her win? This is the mindset that is going to shift when you accept the spirit of adoption today. Amen. I want to do one more. The orphan spirit has a lack of self-esteem and receives their primary identity through material possessions, their physical appearance, and activities or talents that they do or have. I'm gonna say that again, because I think this is gonna break some things off of people right now. The orphan spirit has a lack of self-esteem and receives their primary identity through material possessions, their physical appearance, and activities, things that they can do. This sets you up for failure because there's always gonna be someone that you perceive looks better than you. There's always going to be someone that you perceive is more talented than you. And there's always going to be people that you perceive
have more than you. So if you don't kick this, you'll always fall into it. But right now, I speak the spirit of adoption over you. Your identity grounded in the sonship and the daughtership of the Father. You will go to the Father for affirmation and to Him only. I speak to the fight that people have been fighting. I just want to pray for you. You may have been battling with this spirit for a long time, and I believe that today is the day it will go. Today is the day that everything will change. Today is the day that you are going to choose the spirit of adoption. The Bible says that we were all adopted into the fold. I know none of us in here are Jewish from the original tribes. We are all Gentiles, and we were all adopted into the fold. The Bible says Abraham's bosom. That is the spirit that you should have. Paige and Renita, you can come up. Today you are positioned for greatness. This day, today, can set the course for the rest of your entire life. You might have not walked in and have been unsaved, but there's a lot of people who are saved. They're going to heaven, and they are battling with this vicious spirit, and it steals everything from you. So right now I'm gonna pray, and I'm sorry if the message was a little different and it was a little unorthodox. I was trying to set this moment up because if you're not focused, if you don't have humility, if you're not focused, you won't beat this spirit. It will beat you every time. It's a very focused spirit. It knows everything about you. It knows everything about your granddad. It knows everything about your great granddad. It knows everything about your whole lineage, everything that made you tick. But if you focus on the one, none of that matters. And humility, if you don't have humility, you will not listen to any of this. And this will continue to run rampant in your life. So if anyone in here has felt that and feels like they have overcome it, and thank you, Jesus. I know there's a lot of people. I know I still have to wrestle it down sometimes. Because this was my spirit. This is the one, this is personal. This is the one that plagued me. This is the one that hurt me. And it's not only for people who haven't had fathers. It's not only for people who haven't had mothers. There's people who grew up in a home with a great family, and this can still plague you. Let me tell you right now, church is a place you come to get set free. Church is a place you come to be made new. So we're gonna pray. And there's two things I need people to do. One thing is I'm gonna have a prayer team up here, whoever they are. I know who they are. They're somewhere around here. And we're gonna pray for people who feel like they have that spirit. I don't care if there's one person. I don't care if it's all of you. I'll stay here all day. But the people who feel like they have put this spirit in a headlock, I ask you to please stay and pray. People need you. People need you to be set free. Jesus went to the cross. He climbed onto that mountain. And he did it. I know the movies make it look a little glamorous. They give him a little thing that covers him. No, he was naked. Everything was out. I know in the movies sometimes we could even recognize the actor's face. No. He was beaten so severely that no one even could see who he was.
The people who know him couldn't see who he was. If he did that for you and he wants to give you freedom, how small is it for you to come get prayer to be free? So if you need prayer, we're going to sing. And I want to lay hands on you. If you want to be set free from this spirit today, I want to lay hands on you. And I believe that it's going to go without a fight in here. I believe the fight's going to start when you get out there. I believe that you're going to leave here and you're going to feel light. You're going to feel brand new. You're going to feel repurposed. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I'm the bearer of good news, but the bearer of bad news. It takes maintenance. You have to continue. When I hear in my mind, no one wants to listen to you, no one loves you, no one cares for you, I have to say, no. Teresa loves me. I have to say, no. Amy loves me. She told me once. Oh, that guy right there. That guy? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I think he loves me. He's given me some great feedback. But this is what you need to do, because the Spirit will break you down and beat you up. There is biblical references to spirits literally beating people, throwing people in the fire, throwing people in water. This is New Testament, not Old Testament. This is New Testament. But the enemy doesn't want us to speak about the things that we are up against. You know why? Because if we acknowledge it, if we put a light on it, we can begin to fight it. If we stay in the dark, we can't fight anything. The devil might stay, he might stay on the low, on the down low, and he might stay kind of quiet. He's gonna stab you every once in a while, but he's gonna stay kind of quiet in your life if no one's talking about him. But slowly but surely, he will kill you. So if anyone needs prayer, please come up. Please come up. If you feel like this spirit is plaguing you, please come on up.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.